Remember the start of these protests, a tax on fuel. The protests in France and backtracking by President Macron show how hard it can be for governments to implement even small changes meant to help cut climate pollution. There is a downside to every decision, and without careful planning, people can be hurt in the short term by policies meant to deal with big, long-term challenges. We've seen that here in the U.S. as well. Workers in fossil fuel industries like coal mining push back hard against Obama administration climate policies and helped elect Donald Trump, who's now undoing a lot of those policies. Shivan Kartha works on just these kind of challenges at the Stockholm Environment Institute. He focuses on climate equity and policy. He's based here in Massachusetts. What did Macron do wrong with these new fuel taxes, and what could he have done differently?
Well, I think it's absolutely true that this uprising was triggered by his fuel tax. But I think it's really important to realize that that's not what it's about at its root. It's about many people in France and around the world really feeling like an underclass, that their standard of living is slipping away, that their lifestyle is increasingly precarious. And so they're pointing now to things not just like his fuel tax, but also to his weakening of labor protections. And they're asking to have the minimum wage raised. And then, as we just heard, issues around public education. So it goes well beyond climate. But if Macron wants to reset his climate policies, he'll need to think bigger than climate. He'll need to think about reversing these trends toward inequality and insecurity that are spurring this overbearing sense of insecurity.
I mean, it's hard to imagine undoing all the kind of consequences of neoliberal policy for the past few decades. I mean, right now, given all those consequences that you just talked about, what are the principles government should follow to just soften the blows of policies aimed at cutting carbon pollution?
Well, I think that one of the absolute key principles is to recognize that as much as we would like to talk about there being huge net benefits in the long term to climate policy and job gains, and, you know, this is definitely a better path for our economy and our world to take, there are going to be some people who have less to gain from a transition away from fossil fuels. So I think what that means is that the principles of an effective climate transition are to not just think about, oh, maybe some retraining for laid off workers in coal mines and a few other industries, but think much more about broad investment in education. Make people feel like they're trained for our changing economy. Let's not think just in terms of a few regulations to make sure that fossil fuel companies' pensions don't go broke and leave coal miners high and dry, but think about a strengthened and expanded social security system so that everybody can feel more secure, less threatened by change, period.
But in the short term, I mean, I think about Dunkirk in France, which has recently started free bus service for everybody, and it's been a game changer. Of course, it takes resources to do that, but I'm scratching my head here in the United States wondering why they didn't do that in more cities in France instead of a gas tax.
That's an excellent example. And it's an example of a policy that, one, it makes sense, and two, it does benefit people who need to rely on public transit. And I think that there are many such ways that we can think of climate policy in that kind of a progressive way. You know, we have progressive taxation. We don't put the bulk of the burden on those who are least able to shoulder it. We have to keep in mind that well more than half of the world's wealth is owned by the richest 10%. And similarly, more than half the world's emissions are caused by the wealthiest 10%. And we need to think about climate policies in a way that takes the realities of those huge inequalities into account.
Shivan Kartha with the Stockholm Environment Institute, speaking with us from his office here in Massachusetts. Thanks very much, Shivan.
My pleasure, Marco. Thank you.